Another violent confrontation. This is Brian 2 in San Diego, California. It's 11:15 a.m. on the 26th of October, 2018. Another violent confrontation with organized stalkers. Again, to provoke the victim into emotional responses which can be remotely measured and integrated back into R&M data while simultaneously discrediting the victim in a way which appears common, ordinary, and expected to the casual observer. And of course they have their perps and cameras recording everything, you know. It's how they set up and entrap the victim. But to make a long story short, if you read my previous video on the organized stalking, you will see where I said, you know, if it happens again, I'm going to knock him out of my way again. You see, organized stalking, trauma-based mind control, is based on the responses of the victim. Each response, an electromagnetic emission pattern in the victim's brain, a set of brain waves which can be remotely measured, identified, developed, captured, held, and perpetually replayed in the victim's brain over and over. They do it to establish memory anchors. So now what happens is the supercomputer has captured that memory anchor. It has verified it because it's their organized stalkers. Now it can inject that previous memory reference, that set of brain waves, captured, held, and perpetually replayed in the victim's brain, back into the subconscious of my brain at regular intervals in order to probe me for a set of responses to determine a coherent pattern of thought. That's called verification. Where, you know, if the operator handled, the hive mind teams can't verify you know, in that manner, then they will switch to alternate methods in order to verify the responses of the victim. It has to happen every day, between sleep cycles. It has to happen, okay? And been happening all over the world. And been going on for a long, long time. You know, again, trauma-based mind control is based on the last response of the victim. Why? To generate patterns. To generate patterns of responses. So, if you look at my previous video on the last organized stalking incident, violent confrontation, I knocked the guy out of my way. Well, that became the pattern for the next wave of torture and harassment. The harassment being the organized stalking, deliberately stepping into my path and slowing down again, in a way where I have to step, force adjustments, force the individual into constant emotional responses to generate response statistics from which the operator, the handler, can determine a coherent pattern of thought. Okay? In other words, into constantly forcing the victim to adjust away from the organized stalking. So constantly forcing me either to walk dead into the individual, okay, and tell him you better get out of my way, or to walk around. Forced adjustments away. That's what organized stalking is designed to achieve. Now, they use organized stalking for a lot of things. They use it for surveillance. They use it for to keep the victim from defeating the technology. They use it for verification, like just happened today. They use it to discredit the victim. There are a lot of different reasons for organized stalking. But it must be aggressive at regular intervals to keep the victim sensitized to the fact that it's happening. Where at that point, the organized stalking can be achieved at much more subtly, and in a way which, you know, others would think was just, this is just a common, ordinary, and expected experience. People, you know, encounter these every day. It doesn't happen 100 times a day. These tactics, the torture, the harassment, does not happen 100 times a day. I'm locked in my car. The organized stalking was so bad, I had to go buy a car and lock myself into my car. And I can't even go to the store. They stalked me heavily at the 7-Eleven on Morena Avenue. It's just, you know, off of Morena Avenue. That and Costco. These are choice reference patterns of mine. I go there each day for coffee. It's a choice reference pattern. And they're constantly seeking to inject into the choice reference patterns of the victim. What is mind control about? It's about interfering with the memory and thought process of the victim. What are choice reference patterns? They're memories. I go there to get coffee every day because I remember that's where I can get coffee. It's a previous memory reference. It's a choice that I make each day. It's a choice reference pattern of mine. Organized stalking is based on choice, reference, patterns. And then once you understand what it's based off of, choice, reference, patterns, you must understand what it's comprised of. And that's two things, situational scenarios and conversational scenarios. And those situational and conversational scenarios will always be based on events or topics that they know will capture the victim's attention. You know, the organized stalker deliberately stepping into my path, forcing me to walk around him or run into him and let him know, get out of my way, that's an event which will capture my attention. The, you know, the verbal exchange between him, you know, that guy and myself after the fact is a conversational scenario. This is how organized stalking works. And it's done to discredit the victim, to make the victim appear delusional, schizophrenic, crazy, as, you know, H-E double hockey stick. So they can discredit the victim. They must discredit their victims. They must do it. It absolutely must happen. If the victim appears credible, then they have a problem. And they use organized stalking to achieve that. And they basically, when I say patterns, what I mean is they're basing, and I've touched on this in other videos, but because I don't know if people will go back and look at my other videos, I always try to touch on the basics. Organized stalking is based on the hyper game theory. So is their technology. It's basically game theory applied to decision tree modeling, mathematically proving that by continually and perpetually altering any value in that mathematical model, one can continually and perpetually alter that mathematical model's expected outcome. Well, with trauma-based mind control, the CIA and DIA trauma-based mind control, the model is the victim. So by continually and perpetually altering any value in the daily life, daily activities, financial transactions, health and well-being, etc., of the victim, they can continually and perpetually alter the outcome of the daily life, daily activities, financial transactions, health and well-being, etc., of the victim. And in a way which, you know, discredits the victim. You see, they want to force the victim into an endless series of counter moves each day, just trying to function and survive, creating a hostile environment everywhere the victim goes. That's why I'm locked in my car. They need to isolate the victim. You know, they do that by creating a hostile and toxic environment everywhere the victim goes. They need to isolate the victim from engaging in any type of external activity, such as reading a Bible, listening to music, engaging in outdoor activities, etc., because those external activities dampen the neural link between the supercomputer and the victim's brain. That's why my ears are ringing constantly, head and ears and pulsating pain, why they use torture constantly as a behavior modification to death tactic to stop me from engaging in external activities which interfere with their technology. Okay, they must isolate the victim so that the neuroprogramming, the vision, meaning the dream modulation, the neuro-linguistic programming, the remote neural attacks, the visual verbal entrainments, etc., etc., all of that has, so that the victim is forced to internalize or internally focus on the neuroprogramming. You see, if a victim is going around engaging in random and chaotic events all day long, as would accompany a normal person's daily life, random and chaotic situations and conversations, they can't allow that. That disrupts their technology. So they use a floating box everywhere the victim goes. They float using the floating box, using leapfrogging and other tactics. They surround the victim, keep the victim boxed in into a psychotronic concentration camp. As soon as I knocked the guy out of my way, he was looking at other people in the parking lot going, "You see this guy? You see this guy? Look at this guy. Look at this guy." No matter what happens, the victim is forced to respond. If I carry a camera to try to stop it, I'm still responding. They force me into a response. You see? They discredit the victim by relying on the Occam razor principle, which basically provides the simplest explanation is always the truth. The simplest explanation is always the best explanation. The simplest answer is always the truth. Okay? So, anyone can discredit another person, any group of people can discredit another group of people simply by engaging in a sufficiently complex game of harassment, hyper game theory. By engaging in a sufficiently complex game or scheme of harassment, because the more complicated the truth, the less the likelihood of belief by the ordinary person, the complexity of harassment will generally be enough to cause most people to turn away in disbelief. The people in the parking lot were looking at me like I was the perpetrator, like I was the one that was crazy, that I was the aggressor, when in fact this has been going on, and there's a pattern of it for many years, and includes deadly attacks, unsolicited, gratuitous, violence. You know, I this time, you know, I knocked the guy and I'm away, but remember, that's based on the last response of the victim. I said in the previous video, get in my way, I'm gonna knock you out of my way again. And they got in my way again to generate patterns of responses. One response is not enough. They need multiple responses from the victim. And the victim is forced to play the game in order to function and survive. If I don't play the game, I can't go to the store. You see, in order to function and survive, the victim is forced to play the game. And they're going to get in the victim's face as much as possible to provoke and harass the victim. That's how trauma-based mind control works. The supercomputer is remotely measuring and downloading all synaptic responses of the victim. You know, they're trained. The organized stalkers are trained that, you know, if they can't get in your face, if they can't initiate a physical altercation, then do a, you know, engage in a verbal altercation. Well, he was able to do both, but in a way which made discredited me. In a way, I'm surprised that it still goes on here in the States so aggressively, because there's so much evidence of it around the world. You know, in countries that don't even like the Americans, like Ecuador, the American government, like Ecuador and Nicaragua and Cuba and Russia and China. And, well, it didn't start, there wasn't anything going on in Russia or China. I mean, the direct energy tax stopped right away. There was some B2K. But the point is, you know, in other countries, Serbia, I mean, countries don't even like the Americans. They engage in these stalking tactics because they must. They absolutely must. The victim, if they don't provoke the victim regularly, at regular intervals, then their technology begins to erode. Their training, research, and development will begin to erode. So they can't allow that. So just by sitting here and going through all of this and making a video about what just happened, I'm only doing exactly what the supercomputer is programmed to achieve, force me to continually respond. But you see, I have no choice. If I don't try and document that it's happening, you know, if something terrible happens again, they come after me with deadly weapons again, etc., well, then there's no evidence that, you know, there's a pattern of this going on for, you know, over 21 years. Spraying 2 in San Diego, California.